Link was sent to me, so let me take a look right now at the link. I think I okay
I
I think
can.
I'm
Yeah, sorry.
okay. I think I'm just am I allowed to share screen? No.
Oh, I was thinking I can share my screen then. You
Okay, yeah.
can.
Will we be okay if we can share the
Yeah,
screen so that we
sure.
can see the questions? Then it will be more convenient for everyone.
Yeah, give me a minute. Okay, I think you all should be able to see my screen.
The meantime, let me also access from my handphone then. Oh, not this one. Okay, then I look from the screen.
Yeah. Can you all see? Yeah, okay.
The top question is concerning my wife.
Yeah.
Okay, let me answer these questions, okay? And later on, if you have further questions, do feel free also to just ask me over the Zoom platform. Okay. The first question is, did you meet your significant other at FCM? God's leading aside, do you think university is an appropriate time to begin a relationship? Good question. Did I meet my significant other at FCM? Yes, I met her at FCM. And interestingly, I met her at FCM during one of the camps where I was asked to be the wise camp master. And it was during the period of SARS. And so when the COVID-19 came in, it suddenly triggered in us this memory that, oh, actually, we met each other during the SARS period. And during then, I had when I first saw her, I had totally no interest in her. So she saw me she thought I looked rather weird. How do I look like? There's a book down here. I think I can show you this evidence. So a picture speaks a thousand words. Let me show you the picture. Okay, I think you can see. This brings back memories. Can you see? Okay, which one is my wife? This one. This Mrs. Chu. Right, and where is Clement? I don't know whether you all can recognize now because I think I have definitely swelled in size. This is me, okay? And I think you probably recognize a few people down here. So before you recognize, let me take it away. Okay, so I met my wife then. FCM, I have no interest in her, and then she saw me there. And interestingly, when she saw me, the first thought was that, well, who is this strange guy? I don't think he will ever get married. And so, better be careful what you think, because in the end, the Lord may most humorously make things come to pass. So the one who says that I cannot be married or cannot get married, she was married to me. But well. Humor aside, SCM was a very good platform for us to get to know one another, to get to see one another. We did not go out to really find our significant other. It was never in my heart actually really to look for a girlfriend via FCM. Really, the focus was to concentrate on the study of God's word and to grow, right, in spiritual knowledge. But of course, when you go to FCM, sometimes you get to see one another, you interact with one another, and then you get to see the other person, how he or she is actually like. And then, as the Lord leads, you know, the Lord will put the love right in both of your hearts, and then His confirmation that you are meant to be married, and that's how right we got together, right? And so when I saw my wife there, I obviously was very attracted by what I saw, and that's how the Lord brought us together. Actually, we were, two of us were very shy. You know, initially when we first started out, we would go home together with the others via the MRT. During those days, right, the MRT was not as crowded as today. And so on our, and so she lived in the east. I also live in the east. I live in Tampines. Very, at the time I lived in Tampines, very close to where Reverend Prabhudas Koshi is now living. And she will leave somewhere around the Katong area. So as we took the MRT, the others will go down first, and so usually only the two of us will be left behind. But at the point of time, I was a person that was very enamored by the things that I read, right, by books. And so I would keep my distance, so I would sit on one side with my book. And then she would look at me, and then she would say, "Well, what a strange character." And then she would sit as far away, so at least three seats away. Even further, even better. So that was how it was like in the beginning. So how did the Lord put us together? Well, it's really the Lord's doing. Okay, so I'd like to encourage those who are FCMers. Please do not attend FCM just to look for your significant other. But concentrate on the study of God's word, and the Lord will lead. Like, if you are meant to be together, like the Lord has already ordained you to be husband and wife, well, the Lord has His own way of bringing things to pass in the most mysterious way. We never thought that we would be together as husband and wife, but the Lord brought it to pass. So the same will be for all of you. That answers the first question. Then God's leading aside, do you think uni is an appropriate time to begin a relationship? It really depends. Because the right time to begin a relationship is not determined by one's age, but really whether one is spiritually mature and ready to handle a relationship. And when we talk about being ready to handle a relationship, it means that you are aware that once you get into courtship, it is with marriage in view. And so you have to ask yourself this question: am I ready to handle the responsibilities of marriage? And if you are not ready to handle the responsibilities of marriage, or at least to work towards marriage, then don't enter into a BGR. It has nothing to do whether or not you are in university or not. Some people, they can be even 40 or 50 years old, they are still not ready for a relationship. Okay, so this is a very good question. I appreciate this question. In fact, it's something which I have a burden for with regards to young people. Sometimes they do think that just because they are in university means it's the right time to enter. And that's because they look at others, and then they see others entering into a relationship, and they feel pressurized to also want to experience the same kind of thrill. But each person, his own time. Right? You have to know yourself first whether or not you are spiritually mature and ready to handle. If you are not mature yet, best to concentrate first on the study of God's word. And once you are spiritually matured, the Lord will have His way to bring you to the one that is meant for you. Okay, so I hope I answered the first question. Second question: how should we relate to friends who are in Campus Crusade, Navigus, and similar organizations? Well, just like the way you will relate with all others in the world. You are called to be a Christian. When you say that we are separatists, it doesn't mean that we do not interact with those who are unbelievers, right? We eat with them, right? So let's say if you have the same friends in the same class, I believe you do not just eat with those who call themselves Christians, but you also eat with those who are unbelievers, right? And as you eat with them, and as the Lord opens the doors for you to share the good news of Jesus Christ, well, you witness to them. And then you do your part to bear a good testimony in class. ask the Lord to grant you the grace to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Right? That is how you reach out, right, to those who are unbelieving. And so it will be the same with your friends who are from Campus Crusade, Navigators, or similar organizations. You just talk with them, and then you try your best to share the truth with them, right? Lovingly, gently. Right? Don't do so in a very brash manner. Being very passionate for the truth, we can be very brash in putting across certain points. You know, don't force people to swallow down the truth. It can never be done that way. Remember, in the end, it must be the Holy Spirit working in the person's heart to lead the person to the truth. When the Holy Spirit does so, well, it is irresistible, right? You take a look, for example, at the case just now with the person who came in to the FCN camp, right, from the Assembly of God, and then when it was shared to him concerning the errors of speaking in tongues, rather than being antagonistic, he was very receptive, and in the end he was led to join the BP movement. So the same goes for your friends who are in Campus Crusade, Navigators, similar organizations. Reach out to them with the truth gently, lovingly. And also, of course, every day of your life also counts. In what sense? Well, your testimony to them must also be good. Because if you try to share with them the truth, but then you yourself, you are not a practitioner of the truth, then how will the person be convinced, right? You will be stumbled instead. So understand this truth, and one very good way is, why don't you invite your friend to FCM? Why invite your friend to FCM and let them hear the truth? Right? That, I think, is a very, very good way to reach out to your friends in all these groups. The wrong way to do so, though, is to participate in the Campus Crusade or the Navigators or all these groups. Because to do so is not separation, but infiltration. That is what a neo-evangelical would do. The Bible here very clearly says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 7:1, right, that we should separate from such associations. So please don't do that. Right? The right way is to take a stand. And the way to take a stand is, well, you don't join in these organizations, but you join in with the FCM, which is a fundamental conservative group. And from there, your friends will ask, why do you join this group? Or why do you not want to join in the same prayer meetings as us? Then you give a reason. Well, I think maybe it's good for you to come to the FCM and come to this Bible study, and then you may get a better understanding why. Right? And so you can lead your friends to join, and then your friends join. And when your friends join, FCM is different, because FCM, right? The Bible Presbyterian Church is in charge overseeing the whole thing, right? And from there, we try to share the truth to them. So that is how I would think that we should relate to our friends in Campus Crusade. How should I speak to my friend regarding joining an ecumenical Christian group on campus? She says she has spiritually benefited from them. Well, you just share with her the truth of the ecumenical movement. And perhaps a good way is to first bring her to FCM. Right? Be patient. You can bring her to FCM. And then along the way, when she is comfortable with FCM, you can share with her, right, what is wrong with the ecumenical movement. There are some tracks also, right, that has been written, like, concerning the ecumenical movement, or there are some materials that are available in our various churches. I believe Kari Pandan has quite a great store of this material. Now, instead of sharing by mouth, sometimes if you feel that you do not know how to share, a good way is, the ecumenical movement is wrong, maybe it's hard for me to explain directly in one sitting with you, but I have some material down here, maybe you would like to read, and then you can share this material with your friends. And then when your friends have some questions, so you can answer those questions. So, take note this day. Take note of this. Why wasn't FCM ever registered as an official campus group, not necessarily as part of VCF? Is the reason the same today? Well, yes, the reason is the same today. And what is the reason? Well, one very good reason why FCM was not is not registered as an official campus group is once you register as an official campus group, it's no longer a ministry of the church. Right? It has to be a parachurch group. Now, understand that when you register yourself as an official campus group, that you have no say on who makes up the leaders of the student body. You have no say at all. Yes, to be totally open to at least those of other churches, and they can come in. They do not hold on to the same stand, and in the end, right, it would result in falsehood being promoted. And so therefore, we are never registered as an official campus group. Once we do that, we have to follow by the rules of the campus, and that is we have to be totally open. And so no, we can never register ourselves officially as a campus group. But instead, right, we would have to be a ministry under one of our like-minded BP churches, in this case, Calvary Pandan BP Church. And from there, Calvary Pandan BP Church gets to determine who exactly, right, will be the Bible study teachers, who exactly will be the overseers of the FCM, who exactly will be those who are the student coordinators. And allow me to share something from history. During the period of the VPP controversy, and especially towards the tail end of the VPP controversy, we became very concerned, firstly with regards to the teachers who are teaching in the FCM, because some of them, they do not hold on to the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures. And so, FCM was under Calvary Tengah, so therefore Calvary Tengah has a VPP stand, and we are able therefore to share to the Bible study teachers, look, if you want to teach here in the FCM, then you have to hold on to VPP, right, which resulted in some of these teachers leaving. Then later on, another issue arose was that some of the student coordinators were not for VPP. And that became an issue. In fact, not only were they not just for VPP, but some of them, they were actually not really spiritually mature and ready to run the FCM or to organize the activities for the FCM. And so I remember one of the student coordinators brought the FCMers for outing, informal outing. And one of these informal outings involved going to a movie that is entitled The Passion of Christ. Passion of Christ, the actor was it's a Hollywood film. I think the star is Mel Gibson, if I'm not wrong. And it involves very graphic scenes of how Jesus Christ was whipped on the cross. And there is actually a lot of wrong doctrine and a lot of Roman Catholic impressions, right, that can be found in this particular film. But the FCMers were brought for this informal outing to go and see this film. And of all things, to a cinema. And so you have issues that arose like this. Now, if you do not have a church body looking after these things, there is no action that you can take. But because it was under a church, so certain actions could be taken, and one of the things that was taken was the establishment of the student coordinator's oath, whereby we have to make sure that the student coordinator is actually one who upholds the verbal plenary preservation of the scriptures, and not just that, but also in terms of his or her life, there is this commitment to uphold holiness and truth. And so it would also give the church every right, let's say if there's any student coordinator that's found to be not fit for service, right, to find another one, right, that can take his or her place. So these are important things, okay? So next question. How can I convince one who prefers a democratic Bible study style where youth workers lead discussions on Bible passages of the importance of trained leaders? Okay, I believe that this so-called democratic Bible study style is growing very much in popularity because of the rise of democracy in the world. But when you look at the Bible, when you look at the book of Acts, how is the faith communicated? Is it by discussion? No, in fact, is it even by Q&A like this? No, I'm not saying that Q&A like this has no value. But you look at what is the means in which faith is communicated. It's by the preaching of God's word. Right? Romans chapter 10, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God, right? Hearing by the word of God. The word there, right, is the Greek rhema, which means, right, the preached word. By preaching, not by discussions, not by conversations whereby, oh, what is your view, what is your view, what is your view, and then, oh, since there is no consensus, then you are free to hold what view you want. A lot of Bible studies are like that. Of course, it is just as dangerous to say, oh, let us get out the view, and then the majority view is right. You know, truth is never decided by majority. Truth is always decided by what? Truth is always decided by what God's word says. Right? And when it comes to God's word, right, there is only one interpretation, not many interpretations. Our duty is to know what exactly God's word says. And of course, the best person to teach what exactly God's word says will be somebody who is trained, right? Trained in the Holy Scriptures, who has wholly devoted his time in the study of the Bible, and is thus the best person to be equipped, right, to exposit the scriptures that people may understand. Now, some says that there is no need for formal training to teach the word of God, especially for pastors, right, and for ministers of the word. Well, that is not true. Right? Now, some would like to say that, oh, no, people like Spurgeon, Martin Lloyd-Jones, they were not trained, and then they were very fiery and powerful preachers. A lot of these people who teach democratic Bible study actually had list them for as examples. But ironically, one of these examples, Charles Spurgeon, actually set up a school of preachers because he knew that he was an extraordinary case that most people still have to go through. Right, the normal way of being trained in the Word of God before, right, they are ready to teach God's Word. Even in the Bible, you talk about the prophets. There was a school of prophets, isn't it? Elijah, Elisha's time, school of prophets, the training of prophets. So, right, the best person to teach really is a trained Bible study leader. So I hope I answered this question. My friend says he got saved through Alpha Course. Now he is active in promoting him. How should I warn him of the dangers? Yes, right. Firstly, I would like to direct you to an article that is, I think, written by Ren Quek himself, right, on the Alpha Course. You can find that in the Calvary Pandan website. If not, I think if you go to Google and then you type Alpha Course Evaluation Quek Sang Yu, I think it should appear. That gives a very good evaluation on the Alpha Course. You can use it to share with your friend. But I think also down here, if I'm reading this question correctly, is how to deal with this thinking that, oh, since I got saved with the Alpha Course, so Alpha Course must be good and correct. The same question also goes with regards to Bible translation. Some people say, oh, Bible translation, why use the KJV? I can use the NIV, but I can be saved through NIV, so why don't I use the NIV? Well, of course, the NIV can contain enough of the truth in order to save a person. But you know, when you want to talk about being pure in your testimony for Christ, you want to talk about spiritual growth, you want to talk about bearing a pure witness, then of course you do not promote something that has wrong teaching, wrong rhetoric. You want to promote something that gives forth a faithful rendering of the scriptures. And that would be the King James translation of the Bible. So the same comes from the Alpha Course. In the Alpha Course, in fact, there is a lot of wrong teaching and doctrine that is being promoted in it. And so since there are, well, of course, there are things that are correct, but there are also things that are wrong. And so when there are things that are wrong, then we do not want to use it. You know, the things about Christianity is this. You know, sometimes it's very strange. When we talk about using about our studies, right, regards to parents, when they want to help their child to understand a particular subject, they will go all out to find the best textbook, to find the best assessment books, instructional books for their children. Even for us, right, when we want to study, we want to find the best textbook for us to study. We do not want to find a book that is full of errors, and thereby we learn the wrong thing. As Singaporeans, we are very, very kiasu, right, in terms of our attitude. We only want the best, the best, the best. Wow, any imperfection we don't want. But somehow when it comes to the spiritual realm, a little error, never mind. A little error, never mind. Now, that kind of attitude must change. So, you know, slowly try to communicate with your friends these things. Of course, communicate with wisdom. Do not communicate like how it's being communicated right now here at this platform. I'm talking to people who are mainly from the BP Church, so I know that you all understand where I'm coming from. But when you talk to your friend, be very patient, be very gentle. Start off by giving them some material concerning the Alpha Course or evaluation of the Alpha Course. And then you yourself study that document and then try to explain where the Alpha Course has gone wrong. And sometimes the best way to do it is this. Instead of just directly dealing with the Alpha Course, bring your friend to learn good doctrine. Bring your friend to a place to learn good doctrine. FCM will be a good place. FEBC night classes will be a good place. Or perhaps you may want to invite your friend to your church. If your church is a faithful, Bible-believing BB church, invite your friend to the church and get him to hear good material on the Bible, right? To learn good doctrine. And when the person learns good doctrine, after a while, he will know Alpha Course cannot. So that's the best way, right? Teach doctrine, instruct doctrine, right? Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Right? That is the key. Okay. So next, any interesting stories from SCN camp during your time? Oh, too many. Okay. Any interesting stories? Well, allow me to share with you the first impression I had of FCM retreat Kun Camp. And then maybe I share with you another two or three more from there. The first one is this. I attended the FCM camp as a relatively young Christian. The way I came to FCM was this. There was this notice that was published in the Life Church Weekly, right, inviting people to join the FCM. And then there was also the FCM magazine, right, that was distributed at the point of time. So in the FCM magazine, there was a picture of this mission trip that was undertaken to Kemaman. And one of the, no, in one of the photos, there was somebody that looked very, very familiar. Yeah, look at you. I said, where did I see this person before? No, I had this desire to want to join fellowship group. No, and a university fellowship group I thought was perfect. So I looked, very familiar, this person. Then I realized that this person was my classmate both in the physics faculty as well as attending English lessons for me. Well, English lesson in university is actually linguistics. Well, he was there because we were actually teaching scholars, local teaching scholars. And so during those days, in the PSC local teaching scholars, we were required to attend English language classes. So I attended one of those classes with my friend there. So then I actually had this FCM newsletter there. So I check. I say, yeah, same. Maybe I should just ask him whether he's from FCM. So I ask him, are you from FCM? Then he was caught by surprise. Like, out of the blue, there's this person whom he does not really know coming to him and say, are you from FCM? And so that was how I participated. I first joined FCM. And then very soon, after the first few Bible studies, I attended the camp. And I was shocked at that camp because the FCMers were full of energy. It is as though they do not need a siesta. They have messages. After that, lunch straight away, they have discussions and then workshop and then discussion again, play games. And then at night, they have some film or another message. And then after that, they had their supper. And then after that, they had their nights out. But lo and behold, in between all those times whereby it's supposed to be siesta. In fact, I if I remember correctly, siesta wasn't even included in the timetable. It was just a whole, they catered quite a bit of time right before the next event. So in between, right, they get to talk with one another, and they were always discussing about doctrine. Or should I not use the word discussing? They were debating, they were arguing about doctrine. Well, I do not know whether you all still have discussions of doctrine right now. But then there was a lot of discussion, sometimes very heated ones until become debates. And so my first impression was this, you know, when it was nights out, there were two who were arguing with each other. I cannot remember what they were arguing about because during those days, my knowledge of the Bible was really shallow. But I knew they were arguing about some things in the Bible, about doctrine. Who were they? I'm sorry, I cannot tell you, because if I tell you, they are still around, okay? One of them is a church leader now. Well, but they were arguing. Until one of our mates got so fed up, we tell them, hey, night's out, please sleep. So they had no choice, they have to sleep. Then lights out, then the wake up call. And straight away with the wake up call, they got up and then they continued their debate again. Wow. I never saw anything like this before. But that was how FCM was like in those days. And I through all these discussions I learned a lot. And I learned about the importance of doctrines. But I also learned also the importance of being very charitable in the way we present our arguments to one another. Also, though, I learned this very, very painful lesson. Because some of these people who had their discussions, they seem to be very strong in the holding on to the fundamentals of the faith. And in fact, I remember one of the discussions I had with a friend was over Calvinism. And I did not know that what I was espousing was actually hyper-Calvinism. And so, again, big discussion, fight, argument. But later on in life, the person left the faith. So this is something that we must understand. It does not mean that right now you say that you hold on to the faith, you can hold on to, or you can lead great debates, you can give an answer, means that you will be necessarily strong in the faith next time. Some of us may not even have the root of salvation in us. Instead, one very painful thing in FCM, right, seeing my own FCM groups, was that half of us actually faded away. We either went to churches that are for the ecumenical or new evangelical movement, or not in the faith at all. Very, very sad. But there's also the sweet side whereby some of us grew up to be strong in the faith. There are some leaders and deacons, and they are among you right now, actually. So that's the first lesson I learned from FCN camp. So second lesson was this, right, from FCN camp. When I had the privilege to be involved in the camp committee, I was shocked by how the camp committee was run. Because you know that in FCM, we have very little time to organize a camp. We have to handle our studies. Right? You are all tertiary students. I'm sure you understand now. You are probably even more busy than we were in those days. So I was shocked that there were only two or three meetings before a camp was run. So the first meeting was gathered. This person who was coordinating, he gave out all the notes already prepared. Okay, this is what you should do, this is what you should do, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. Any questions? No. Okay, go back. And then after we went back, we came back a month or so later, and then you say, okay, report what has been done. Okay, make sure that all these things all the things that are not done are done. And then the next thing we know, it was the camp already. But the camp was very efficiently run by the grace of God. And so I learned this lesson, you know, how it's important to rely on God's grace to do things, you know, how a camp can be run and need not be like the way of the world. It shouldn't be like the way of the world. In fact, just trust in the Lord, run the camp, and then rely upon the Lord to make sure that the camp is run smoothly. And along the way, as camps are run, I also learned that there is never, ever any single camp that goes according to plan 100%. God proposes, man proposes, God disposes. And so always to rely upon the Lord, leading, right, step by step, step of the way. So that's one of the things I learned, right, from SCN camp. So yes, maybe other interesting stories later on. Second point, next one. How has the SCM changed from the past to today? And what should it strive towards in the future? Okay. How has the SCM changed from the past to today? I would say that the FCM today is very privileged to have a very rich heritage that has been handed down by the predecessors. No, those who have earnestly contended for the faith and fought the fight well. And so certain doctrines are now very well grounded today. And so that is one benefit which the FCM has right now. And one benefit that the SCM has right now also is that it is relatively quiet in all our FCM groups. In fact, between the Bible study leaders, there is much unity of spirit and in the same body of doctrine, right? And the same body of doctrine has held on in the Calvary Pandan and most of our like-minded BP churches. That was not always the case in the FCM. But also, I would like to caution this, is that when there is quiet, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is safe, right? Sometimes quiet is more dangerous because compromise can enter and we may not realize. And so I'd like to urge all of you young people to be very, very careful. Things can just come in subtly. For example, worldliness can come in subtly. It need not necessarily be just false doctrines that enter. It may sometimes be a spirit of worldliness, a spirit of apathy, right? Spiritual apathy, whereby because things are now so smooth, right? We don't sense the need to really push for those things. For example, earnestly contend for the faith. Well, when the fight is on, it's easy to say, well, now we must earnestly contend for the faith because there seems to be an urgent cause right now. But when there seems to be no controversy, earnestly contend for the faith. Why need to earnestly contend for the faith? It seems very peaceful, right? All these things have been settled. And so, please be very, very careful for all these things. Now, of course, FCM now has changed in the sense that certain issues are also brought about because of changes in technology. In those days, we do not have things like, or rather social media was not as well developed as now. So there were less issues in FCM concerning social media. Right? Smartphones were not so smart. And so now with the advent of all these things, right, FCMers will have to cope with all these new issues. Then also during those days, FCM also had the advantage of a common timetable. In those days, we can hold FCM camp and FCM NUS, FCM NTU, FCM SMU, FCM Poly, they can all come together as one whole big group in order to have the FCM camp. Sadly, that is now no longer the case. I believe that right now, what you are having, some of our FCMers, if ordinarily we have a physical camp, right, some of the FCMers may not be even able to join. And that is sad, right, that is sad, but it is something that occurred along the way whereby in the country, the tertiary institutions decided to adopt a different timetable. And so, what I find right now is that between FCM groups, we tend to be a bit more fragmented. And that is something that is hard to address, but because already in terms of timetable to have common activities together was it's not so easy. But in those days, we could have all these activities easily, and it promoted a very good sense of fellowship right among the churches. So that is one added advantage that we have, and that is how FCM today has changed. But I would like to say also that I think that most of the spirit is that we had in the past is still present in FCM today. That is something that I take heart from. Maybe one thing that you all have improved is you are less combative and argumentative like us in a good sense. I'm not saying that it's wrong to be firm in the faith, but sometimes when we really argue over doctrine, we can get very heated until fumes come out from our face. But we are young people, we learn. Now I believe many of us have matured. We are more stable, but during those days, well, youthful energy, well, there's a lot of heated argument. I don't see it right now, at least not in Nanyang Poly. I'm not sure for other groups, but seems like when I attend those groups, some of your groups, it's not the case. And I think that is good, but at the same time, do also have frequent discussions about doctrines, about the faith, sharpen one another in spiritual things. Also look out for one another in terms of conduct, in terms of testimony, help one another, encourage one another, and that is good. Harder right now, I think, in tertiary institutions to meet together to have prayer sessions and all these things. But if you can have, it would be good. I know that NUS Science, you have this. And the informal one, and I think that's good. We used to have that, right? Now you have an informal one over Zoom, I believe. Good to have such things, and that would help to promote right spiritual growth. What should we strive for in the future? Well, continue in the same old pathway. Do not flinch from it. As generations go by, the desire to have change is always there, right? I mean, this is how things are like in the world. You look at the current elections, is there a desire for change? Right, there is, right? But change sometimes is not necessarily for the better. Now, I'm not making a political commentary here, right? Don't get me wrong, okay? And please don't use that to also assess what political stand I have. But I'm talking about it as an illustration of what it can be like in the FCM also. The desire to have change, and so therefore to introduce certain practices that may not be actually good for the spiritual growth of others. Like, for example, one thing that you should be very, very about would be the bringing in of democratic Bible study methods. I'm very glad that just now that question was posed. In fact, that is also one of the burdens in my heart, this kind of desire to have a very discussion style like of Bible study. Now, when I talk about discussion style, like meaning the democratic style, right? You can hold your view, you can hold your view, and then the majority view is right. There is now this kind of desire to bring it in. So, guard yourself against these things. You know, there will be certain trends out there in the Christian world. FCM must learn to assess every trend to see whether it is biblical or not. For example, sometimes certain things can be new and may be good. In those days, we do not make use of social media to promote the truth so much, right? But right now, in fact, every church now is on social media because of the lockdown that was imposed earlier on in the nation. And even right now, if we gather, we can only gather maximum of 50 and no singing in churches. So therefore, a lot of churches are still having live streaming of services, and this is being placed where? Being placed on YouTube, right? Being placed on all these platforms. Is it okay to use this method to promote the truth? Sure, it's okay. But not everything that is done by churches in the world, right, should be adopted by churches, or should it be adopted also by FCM? So please be very, very, very and careful of all these things. But on the other hand, continue to strive in terms of earnestly contending for the faith. I think one area we can improve on in FCM is that we can strive to be much more evangelistic. And that is what I also hope the FCM can be like in the various campuses. Go to your friends, especially those who have not known Christ, share with them the good news of Jesus Christ and bring them to hear the truth. Even all those who are from other churches, why not ask them to join the FCM? We can have more participants from other churches attending our FCM groups. View it as an area of service to reach out to others with the truth. Very, very important. That is part of the fulfilling of the Great Commission of God. So that is what I think FCM should strive towards in the future. Do not let go of the old paths, continue in the same way, and be very, very ready and fervent in the Great Commission. So that's how I answer the question. Next. How can I explain the importance of fellowship with brethren from other churches? Some of my friends feel that sticking to friends within our church is enough. Well, when we talk about fellowship with brethren from other churches, which churches are they from? If you are talking about churches that are very much entrenched in the health and wealth gospel, churches that are not very fundamental in faith, involved in the charismatic movement, then I would think that it is better not to call it fellowship with them, but to say that I have a meeting with them and I want to share the truth with them. Because when you talk about true fellowship can only occur in the truth, can only occur in the light. So that is something that we must understand. However, if you are saying that there are certain brethren that come from conservative churches and that we can have fellowship with them, then we'll say, yes, by all means, go ahead and have fellowship with them. Because when we do not do so, when we say that we can only have fellowship among our Bible Presbyterian churches, then we become isolationists. That is not what Bible Presbyterianism is all about. To understand this, go back to the history of Bible Presbyterianism. Understand why the Bible Presbyterian denomination is formed. Like, you must understand why. It's formed mainly because of three things. Number one, it is formed as a stand against wine drinking. Those in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in America in those days, they were people who believe you can drink wine and drink wine in moderation. Sadly, they did not drink wine in moderation, but oftentimes it led to abuse in wine. The Bible Presbyterians feel very strongly that there must be abstinence from wine. And so that is the first reason why they separated out of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Number two has to do with eschatology. The Bible Presbyterians believe in premillennialism, whereas those in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church hold on to other views, with amillennialism being the most dominant view. And so therefore, the BP Church felt a need to separate. Thirdly, the reason why the BP Church was formed has a lot to do with missions. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church says that you can only support missions that are run by Presbyterians. And that is very, very interesting, because they can support missions that are run by Presbyterians, but they can disregard whether or not the particular mission is faithful and true to the scriptures. As long as Presbyterian, okay, we can support. Whereas for the Bible Presbyterians, they say we can support any mission, even if it's by a Baptist, but if that Baptist is conservative in his belief and he is faithful in the running of the ministry according to the scriptures, we can support that particular mission station, and we can have fellowship with that particular missionary. And so, therefore, the BP Church separated from the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So the third point is the critical one, right? The one on missions, whereby the Bible Presbyterians say and feel very strongly and truly from the scriptures that as long as a person is faithful to the Holy Scriptures, we can have fellowship with that particular person and we can support him. And so the same applies also with regards to how we should conduct ourselves in the FCM. If you don't reach out to those from other churches, then how can you share the truth to them? And also, if they are brethren from churches which are conservative in the faith, then all the more we have this duty to encourage one another in the faith, isn't it? To admonish, to encourage, to provoke one another unto love and to good works, they are written as commands in the Bible. It's not an option. And so therefore, if this question is posed with regards to the importance of fellowship with brethren from other churches who are Bible believing, then I would say that yes, of course it is important. It's actually biblical if you follow that which is stated in the Holy Scriptures. Remember, biblical separation is not isolationism. Okay, there is a big, big difference. Okay, isolationism means only the BB Church has the truth and I can only fellowship with BB Church. Anywhere outside the BB Church, there is no truth. Then we are no different from, then we become no different from many of the other cults who says that, there's only salvation in this church. We are going to be very, very close to that already. Okay, so bear in mind this, okay? BPism does not support isolationism. BPism supports holding on to the truth, being very firm with it, and we will fellowship with all those who hold on to the fundamentals of the Christian faith, to hold on to that same spirit. And for those who do not have the same spirit, firstly, we separate, but at the same time, we make sure that we earnestly contend for the faith so that others may also know the truth. Okay, so understand this. Next, is there a particular reason why FCM and other churches you fellowship do not have a presence in social media? Okay. Do your pastors have presence in social media? I think quite a lot of your pastors also do not have presence in social media. Why? Because we are very wary of how social media can often be misconstrued and abuse, and also with the, and of course overusing of social media, how it can also be associated with the various movements, allow me to find that word. Like for example, when you talk about Facebook, Facebook sometimes is also associated with certain promotion or certain stance. So we do not want to give too much undue respect to all these kind of movements. Of course, there's nothing wrong with using social media if you regard it as a platform. But can there be a greater presence there? I do not see. Well, why not? But provided there is proper control of the content. In other words, if FCM wants to have a page on social media, I would think that it is very, very important that each and every post should go through the overseer of the FCM. And I think in this case, the overseer of the FCM would be Elder Lee Kon Sing as well as Preacher Joshua Yong. The material has to be passed through them and they would have to approve it. Because it must be in line with the doctrinal stand of the church. You must also know that when it comes to posing of even of photos, that it must be one that promotes spiritual things. You cannot just anyhow post a photo, because if you post a photo and it contains a message that is contrary to the Holy Scriptures, then it can be very, very detrimental to the witness of Jesus Christ. So therefore, can FCM and other youth church fellowship groups have a presence on social media? I don't see why not, but the thing is, if it's just totally run by the youth, then it can lead to a lot of issues, because when we are youth, we are still growing in the faith. We are still not yet spiritually mature. Now, I'm not saying that there is no difference in spiritual maturity among the entire spectrum of youth in the youth fellowship, that the leader of the youth fellowship is one that is spiritually immature. But understand that when it comes to posting things on the internet, and remember, when you post things on the internet, it will spread far and wide. I mean, you just look at the current election, right? You have somebody just post something on the Facebook, or is it a tweet, and then it can be, and it's posted 2 years ago and it can be dug up. Same goes for the church. You post anything on social media, it would have a wide reach to other people, and it can easily spread the false message. So therefore, if there is any page on social media, it should be one that is highly regulated by the church. So understand it, because otherwise people may think, oh, the church is trying to promote this false message. So why is there not so much of presence on social media? This one, I cannot answer, but I think it's mainly due to the fact that we want to be very, very cautious in our use of it. Can there be a greater presence in social media? Well, I think, to be frank, the trend is towards it already, because even right now, right, the churches already have the videos on YouTube, right? YouTube, is it social media? Well, of course, we disable all the comments and everything, but actually, we are already putting it on the social media platform. Right, so it depends on how the church uses it, and it can be used as a platform for good. A social media platform is an instrument. An instrument can be used for evil and for good. Just like how a knife, right, it can be used both for evil and for good. If you use it for good, it can be used to cut vegetables, it can be used to cut meat in preparation for a meal. But if you use it in an evil way, it can be used to kill. So same when it comes to social media platforms. Now, having said that, there are some social media platforms that really, really is associated with worldliness and a very rebellious culture. And one social media platform that I would like to warn about will be the platform that is called TikTok. You all know TikTok, right? Now, if you all want to know the dangers of TikTok, I believe Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church has an article recently on that. And it was actually based upon a message that was preached by Reverend Joseph Poon of BPCWA. If not, you can go to, you may find I think some of you know who Mattathias is, right? And you can find him and then get the link to it, and then read about the dangers of TikTok. So some TikTok on YouTube, right? There's actually a video on it, so you can find that particular link URL from him. And so there are certain platforms which have this kind of associations. Now we don't want to be involved in that. Okay, so you will never find a Tabernacle Bible Presbyterian Church putting up material on TikTok. No way. Definitely not. Okay, so I don't think FCM should also put up material there. I doubt Preacher Joshua Young will approve. Well, let's go on. Anonymous. Continue. It's difficult for people outside to find updated information on these fellowship. Yeah, yeah. So you are right, and I believe there is room for us to improve on that. Now, if you use a social media platform like Facebook or YouTube or church website, whatever, to put up information of where Bible study meetings are held, I think it's perfectly valid. And so maybe the student coordinators may want to think through this. I'm not sure whether the FCM board in Calvary Pandan is updated. If it's not updated, maybe you all should consider. Firstly, first update the FCM board in Calvary Pandan. Then after that, whatever is on the internet, the website, whatever, keep the information updated. Very important, especially in this time and age, and now especially in the COVID-19 period, everything is going on the internet. So all these things are very, very important to not overlook all these administrative issues. If you want to reach out to people with the truth, with the goodness of Jesus Christ, then make sure all the details can be easily accessible by them. It also speaks of your sincerity in reaching out to all these groups of people. So yes, please consider very, very carefully on the internet, or on various ways whereby you can let people know where we conduct our Bible study. Please let them know. Okay? So good for the FCMers to think through all these things. What could be the reason why FCM was so much larger than in the past than today? One reason could be the change in timetable, as I mentioned. The other reason, I hope this will be taken kindly, is that possibly the love of Christ is going cold. And I'm not surprised by that, because one of the trends in towards the end of the last days will be what? The love of Christ will grow cold. And so, yes, pray for one another, right? Pray for one another. Pray that more will be convicted to attend the FCM. Of course, I think there is also another reason for it. And if this is the other reason, then it's actually good. The other reason could be also that I know that some of the other churches, they also have fellowship groups for their own youth outside of their usual youth program. And I don't think I need to mention which churches are holding this program. And it's actually good, right? If the churches have the capacity to hold more of these programs for their own youth, why not? Right? Why not? And sometimes because there are already these additional programs that are held, so therefore the youth in all these churches, they may not be able to find the time to attend the FCM, because there is also this important duty to be a good student, right, for Jesus Christ. And that would mean also you need to make sure you study diligently for the Lord. And so in view of this, some may not be attending the FCM. And if that is the case, that is perfectly understandable. But my main concern would be that now this spirit of understanding the importance of fellowship is now missing in quite a lot of youth today. And I pray that this can be improved as the days go by. And so I would encourage those of you who are FCMers, reach out to those of your friends, invite them to come. In those days, I remember that there is this great passion for FCM, so much so that As I mentioned just now, right, in history, that there is this reverse whereby we have to encourage FCMers, hey, please remember, you know, that the original function of SCM really is to equip you all to be a blessing in your own churches. So please go back to your own churches and serve. But right now I do see a trend whereby youth would like to go to tertiary institutions, and they would not regard the fellowship so high in their priorities, or Bible study, or spiritual growth. You know, the important thing is spiritual growth important for me? Oh, it's actually quite low. Studying and getting good grades is higher. For some, attending hostel activities and making sure I have a place in hostel is more important. Oh, then you have your priorities upside down. Right, so I pray that the Lord will be very merciful unto us and be very gracious to your current generation of youth. And may the Lord help you all to grow up, to be fervent men and women for Him. Because very soon, next time, some of you will be in this place right now, and you will be the ones sharing on the history of FCM. You all will be the ones who are the leaders in the church. Time will pass very fast. For me, just a blink of an eye. 18 years involved in FCM already. I didn't know it was so long. Now I'm beginning to feel a little old, and I don't think I'm that old, but I'm beginning to feel a little old. So time will really fly past just like a blink of an eye. And so you have to form this kind of convictions right now. Reach out to others, pray for others. I think this is a very, very good question. It shows the heart of a person who is very concerned about the state of the church, state of FCM. And so if you have this concern, I think the best way is you must really go down on your knees and pray for FCM. That's the only way. And human responsibility of each and every FCMer to reach out to even our fellow mates in our churches, right, with the truth and encourage them to attend FCM. So may the Lord help us with regards to this. Okay. Any other questions? Well, if you have any other questions, and especially if you want me to talk about some things that should be more offline, you can do so once this workshop is over, okay? I hand over the time back to the chairman.
Perhaps you could close us in prayer, then we can end on the day.
Okay, sure. Come, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thee thanks for this time where we can have this workshop on the history of FCM. And what a great joy it is to see the young people gathered here to learn of thy precious word and to encourage one another in the faith. O Lord, may thou help each one of them to mature in the faith and to grow in the love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they may be most useful vessels for thee in the proclamation of the truth. May thou continue to grant many more generations of Christians here in Singapore who will stand firm on the Holy Scriptures and to proclaim how great our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. So we commit all these things into thy loving hands. Bless the FCM, FCMers in the rest of their activities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, thank you everyone. That's all for today. So see all of you tomorrow morning. Yeah, I'll end the chat now. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.